The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, look with compassion on the whole human family. Take away the arrogance and hatred that so often infect our hearts. Break down the walls that separate us and unite us in bonds of love. Amen. Our speaker for today is a senior, Sudeep Bhandari. He designed a major in public health, and it's good to have you, Sudeep. Please be seated. Our reading for this morning is from Luke chapter 10. Jesus was asked, "And who is my neighbor?" He replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay whatever more you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robber?" The man said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said, "Go and do likewise."
Good morning. Thank you very much for being here. I'm truly honored and humbled by the privilege to address the chapel today, not just because I get to share this podium with very influential professors, staff, alumni, and students who have expressed their thoughts in the past, but also because of the opportunity itself provided to me, given the unlikely background I come from. I grew up in the southern part of Nepal, a place called Chitwan. When I was just 6 years old, a civil war broke out, and soon after it started, the lives of all the Nepalese were severely affected. Chitwan was particularly vulnerable. I'm reminded of various instances when war directly affected my childhood. We were not allowed to go outside our school compound to play because of fear of landmines. I would see various bombs wrapped in red cloth hanging in trees with bold letters that said danger. I would hear news every day of innocent people getting killed. Some included my distant relatives. I remember a particular time when I was in 6th grade and traveling back home from school on my school bus. A bomb was placed at our bus station by the insurgents. Our bus driver, realizing this, parked a little ahead. As soon as he stopped, I heard the loudest sound I think I have ever heard. The bus shook violently. The sounds of the mirror rattling against the bus still reverberates my ears today. I can never forget how all my friends huddled into one bundle thinking that it was probably our last day alive. My childhood memories are full of similar instances. When I was in 9th grade, my family decided to move to capital Kathmandu, which was the safest city in Nepal. I was taken away from my hometown that was so dear to me. My parents decided to move because the rebels indefinitely shut down all the schools in my hometown. My parents' biggest priority was to educate me and my brother, so they were willing to make a sacrifice and give up their jobs, give up their house, give up their relatives, and go to a city where they knew no one. That sacrifice my parents made for me more than 8 years ago is a constant source of inspiration and a reminder to move ahead. It is hard to believe that education has performed such a miracle in my life, coming from a war-ravaged city where death seemed almost too near to run away from, to where I'm standing today. I'm truly honored and humbled to be here. In 2006, After 10 years, the civil war ended. Nepal became the youngest democratic nation in the world. There was hope and promise to rebuild this war-torn nation, but the youth was still politically divided. Continuing the cases of violence and atrocities, this divide stemmed from a lack of trust, mutual respect, and tolerance. This divide struck me. I did not want to see another war, another thousands of children forced to leave their hometowns, another set of innocent people killed. Realizing that the future of Nepal as a war-free nation depends on a tolerant and educated youth, I took a small step toward sustainable peace by launching a Holocaust education program the summer of my freshman year. I wanted to educate high school students about the Second World War and the Holocaust, lessons that are absent in Nepalese textbooks. I received help from the Piper Center at Senoloff, and along with 6 volunteers, I reached out to more than 2,300 students and 50 teachers across Nepal. But the journey didn't stop there. My sophomore year, I received the Davis Project for Peace grant, which comes with a $10,000 award to expand the depth and breadth of the program. I, with few other volunteers, returned to Nepal that summer. We reached out to more than 5,000 students across the country and established a peace library for a school in western Nepal. The school is actually founded by an Oli, Subhas Khimire, who graduated in 2010. The library I established directly impacts 250 war-affected students who are currently enrolled in that school. There are books on peace-inspiring individuals like Anne Frank, Nelson Mandela, Mother Teresa, and Mahatma Gandhi. And it has computers and projectors to help students learn. The school administration is in the process of opening the library to the public. As I reflect on the program, I want to clarify that while teaching about the Holocaust, I was not just trying to fill gaps in history textbooks. I was trying to draw lessons from this infamous event, lessons which I believe are much more important to understand, but we often tend to forget during our discussion of the topic. Lessons that lack of respect for human rights and democracy can have tragic implications. But above all, the lessons that we should recognize that people might be different in terms of where they come from, what religion they follow, or who they love, and yet we should respect them for who they are. This notion that we should be educated about our differences and respect others has been instilled in me partly by the values of St. Olaf. Ever since I came here, I have felt welcomed and embraced. I hope many of you were at International Night on Saturday. I feel that just being provided that opportunity to express ourselves and our culture is an indication that we are all willing to learn from each other. But sometimes, not everybody expresses that willingness. Even I fall prey to such disposition once in a while. Sometimes, we don't know who lives down the hallway from us in our dorm. Even I don't know. I should because I'm an RA. But how can we understand others if we don't know about them? How can we celebrate differences if we are not aware that they exist? How can we be respectful if we don't make an effort? Last semester, I was traveling abroad with 26 Olis and a great professor on global semester. I looked different from the rest of the group. I came from a completely different background, so I was scared in the beginning to spend 5 months with them around the world. But I came to realize that despite the differences, most people are ready to unclench their fists if I'm ready to extend my hand in friendship. The respect of friendship I received made the trip one of the most memorable journeys in my life. As I leave, I want to share with you 2 challenges that I've set for myself, which I sincerely hope that you will take into consideration. Notice differences and ask an unscripted question. To people you have seen around campus, someone you might not have talked to, what you want to know more about. Many will respond positively because just like you, they are friendly. Being aware of our surrounding fosters tolerance, and it is the first step to earning and giving respect. 2, count your blessings every day and say thank you. It is important to understand the gift that we have being here at Sinulog, receiving such a great education, which even I sometimes take for granted. Thank you very much for your attention.
May our God of peace work in you and through you, this day and always. Amen.